John 14, we'll start reading in verse 16. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world see me no more, but ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and he will manifest myself to him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide your word today to meet the need of each life here. Lord, as we consider the power of the first century church and how we can have that power in our church and more specifically in our personal lives. Lord, as we consider that today, we pray that your word would speak to our hearts, that your word would reach the mark. Lord, that your spirit would have free course, that we would know that your word is powerful and that we would access that power. Lord, we pray for our pastor today as he's preaching. And Lord, we pray for the service there and then for safety as he heads over here. Thankful for Pastor and Leslie. Lord, we love them. We appreciate their ministry here and how they love us, care for us, and sacrifice here as they love you. Again, Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would work and that your word would reach lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In one verse in the New Testament, we find the key to unlock the secret of the power that the first century church had. And that is... It is a matter of God's power. It's not the matter of my organizational skills or your organizational skills or all those little talents that we have. That's not where it's at. Where it's at is it is a matter of God's power. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The power comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28, verse 18, the Lord there responds saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And then he goes into what we call the Great Commission. And then he then commissions us. That power was given to him from the Father. And then he gave that power to us. Gave that power to us in our lives. Gave that power in our lives for people that we affect around us. Acts 4:33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." The message preached in the first century church was a powerful message of a resurrected Savior. And it was proclaimed in the power of his resurrection. We know very little of this great power that was so evident in the first century church. The power of the gospel is a resurrected Savior. That's the power of the gospel. That's how we know that the gospel has power and we trusted it for salvation. And when we take it to other people, that's how we know it has the power to save them. That's how we know it has the power to save them. The power of the gospel is a resurrected Savior. People can say, "Well, I don't believe it." You might not believe it, but that doesn't change the fact that Jesus Christ died. And historically, as we've seen Pastor through many different ways, say historically we can prove the death of Jesus Christ. For any man to say today that he does not believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, it's just absurd. They can tell you what happened 50 billion years ago with their evolution, but they can't tell you what happened 2,000 years ago on an old rugged cross. And when you try to tell them, they tend to say, well, you know, I don't think, you know, I think that's just a big story. No, no, it's a fact. It's a historical fact. There's power in the resurrected Savior. In the book of Acts being a book of the continuing work of Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit. The continuing work of Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit, working in mine and your hearts and mine and your lives. In Luke 24:49, Kelly, would you turn there? Amy Spiller, turn to John 14:16-17. Kathy Vespa, would you turn to Acts 2:14? And I need someone for Acts 4:13. Brian. Okay, Brother Kelly. Here, the commandment to the disciples, to the early Christians, was to tarry and wait for that power. As you and I begin our days, that'd probably be a good way to start out our day. By just spending 10, 15 minutes with the Lord before we get out of the house or before we, whatever it is that we're going off to do. Just spending a couple of minutes with the Lord. I almost wonder if it's not a really good idea that before we interact with anybody in our life, it wouldn't be a good idea to interact with the Lord first. Our responses might be a little more right. Our focus of our thought might be a little more focused on what it needs to be. Jesus commanded his followers to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. God told them not to attempt to do his work until they had his power. We need to be careful that we don't charge forth doing things for the Lord, doing things in our lives without accessing that power. We must realize that we cannot do this work unless we have His power. If we attempt to do His work without His power, we will fail. Are we functioning in the power of the Holy Spirit? We must not be confused when considering the power of the first century church. We are not simply speaking of having powerful meetings. These were people who were filled with God's power. They did not confine their faith to a building, not just to church on Sunday, not just inside the structure, as it's so many times people think of the power of the Spirit coming upon a meeting. The Spirit wants to come upon mine in your life, in our Monday, in our Tuesday, in our Wednesday. Not just inside this building, not just in this church, not just this day, not just this special day, the special Lord's Day, not just this special day, but every day. The great work of the church is done outside of this building when you and I leave, when you and I interact with other people, with unsaved, with saved. That's when we see the work of this church continuing. When we reach in our purse and pull out the tract that says, how to get to heaven from Washington, D.C. Praise the Lord. That's where this church works. That's where we see the power of the church. Those people that rub shoulders with us. What do they get when they rub shoulders with us? Do they get friction? Do they get the Lord Jesus Christ? What do they get? Good morning, brother. Good to have you here. Amen. Happy Father's Day to you. You raised a good daughter. Praise the Lord. We need God's power, not just in our church assembly, but also as the church functions throughout the week, in our homes, in our jobs, in our daily lives. We must have God's power to accomplish His work in a way that brings glory to Him. The power of the first century church was not about how they performed or what strategy they might have had. The power of the first century church rested entirely upon their dependence and allegiance to God in the person of His indwelling Holy Spirit. Physical power, financial power, mental power, are all poor substitutes for the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no power that we need in our lives like the power of the Holy Spirit. You see on television, learn the power to command yourself and command and go take these seminars. That's not the answer. Maybe we need that in our jobs or whatever, and that's fine. But where the answer is for you and I as Christians that are seeking God's power in our life is that personal time with the Lord. The Holy Spirit is not some mystical, He's a person. He's a person. He's a person that you and I should be fellowshipping with every day. He is a person. He's a real person. The Holy Spirit of God, who alone empowers us to do God's work, our lives need to be given to Him. Unless we are persuaded of our own absolute need of God, moment by moment, day by day, we are never going to have power, the power of the first century church. Power that we see in these folks. The person of the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. John 14, 16, and 17. Man, thank you. Our lives must be given to Him. As we consider the power of the first century church, as we consider having that power in our lives, are we living day by day in such a way that we personally witness the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, demonstrated in our lives? Do we see the power of the Holy Spirit demonstrated in our life? I'd say sometimes I do. And I say other times I see myself as a miserable failure with it. We can access that power. We just have to take the time. We just have to be willing to sacrifice the time and sacrifice our our attitudes and our personal desires. to His will. We've learned how to live without the power of God's Spirit. We've learned to get through. We've gotten through too many times without it, I'm afraid. And the more we get through without it, it seems like the more we think we can do without it. I cannot be the husband, father, grandpa, the friend that I should be without absolute dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Absolute dependence upon the Holy Spirit. When we're talking about the power of the first century church, we're talking about people who lived separated lives. People who lived separated lives. Unto God from the world. They knew that the Lord would sustain them no matter what might come into their lives. We need the Holy Spirit. When the phone call comes, come to the hospital. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be prepared ahead of time. If we don't get prepared ahead of time, what's going to happen when things don't go the way we like? And what's going to happen when things really go bad? If you and I are not walking in the Spirit, we're not going to make it. We see great men of the past that went to the burning stakes and blessed God's name all the way through it. Wow. Wow. Would I like to burn at a stake? No. But if I ever did, would I like the Lord to be honored in my life? You better believe it. Certainly so. He changed their speech. As we look at the lives of the first century church, first century Christians who lived in the power of the Holy Spirit, we notice that God changed their speech. They talk about Jesus Christ. You use His speech to bring glory to Him. In Acts 2:14, here Peter standing up, talking to them. Stay right there, Kathy, at that text. Stay right there. Here we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, Peter standing up in the power of the Spirit, proclaiming Jesus Christ. And look at Peter in verse 41. Kathy, read me verse 41. Souls. The guy stood up in the power of the Spirit and preached. And there in verse 41, we see the same day 3,000 souls. Man, are we apostles? No. Yes. An apostle is what? One sent. Are we sent? Yeah, we are. What are we sent with? The power of the gospel. We're sent with the power of the gospel. Sorry. The power of the gospel. We're sent, aren't we? We're to take it to them. In the power of the Spirit. Peter preached 3,000 souls. Can God's word do that? Can I walk up to a stranger on the street and can I tell him that he's a sinner, he's broken God's law, and he needs to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior? Can I say that to him? And if he says, I believe that, is he saved? He sure is. Does he have to cry? Does he have to do any of that? No, he doesn't. He just has to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. Has to understand that he is a sinner, that he's broken the law of a holy God. And if he prays and trusts Jesus Christ as God's Son, that died to save him, he's saved. That's the power of a holy God. He can do that. Does it have to be here at this altar? No, it doesn't. Does it happen at this altar? Many times it did. It did for me. Who else was saved at an altar? Were you saved at an altar? Okay. It did for me. I came down old-fashioned aisle and knelt at God's altar. But it doesn't have to happen that way. It's the power of God. The guy on the street, you can take the gospel to him. You can open that track. And they can be saved. Just like that. Just like that. It's that simple. If they'll just believe, if they'll just trust. We need to walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Peter lifting up his voice and preaching Jesus Christ. We read of Stephen and Philip and Paul and many others who spoke boldly about the Lord Jesus. God changed their speech. What they talked about, that what was important to them to talk about was changed. Spend a couple minutes with somebody and you see what's important with them, don't you? Because it's what we talk about. I sat next to a girl last night at work. The line broke down. There was two chairs there. And I missed the opportunity. I talked about me and us and her and the kids, and I walked away from there. I said, you moron. Two of yous. Blinds down. It wasn't for me. It was for another trade. And I missed the opportunity. Why? Go ahead and say it. I said it to myself because I wasn't filled with the power of the Spirit. Right? I walked away from there. Man, I missed it. There'll be other opportunities, and we'll have time again. We need to be filled with God's power. He gave them courage. Courage, Acts 4:13. Brian. The religious leaders recognized the boldness of Peter and John. Where did this courage come from? They received it from the Spirit of God. When we are cowardly concerning our faith, it is an indication that we are not living in the power of the Holy Spirit. When we are cowardly concerning our faith, it is an indication that we are not living in the power of the Spirit. Or maybe we don't believe it's that easy that a man can just pray and the great God of heaven would save them. Maybe we don't really believe it. Do we believe? I go inside these big presses that you could drive two cars in. The press could make the car that big. And we go in there and we do work in there. And these special things you're supposed to do to try to make sure it doesn't come down on you. And every now and then you get in a hurry and you reach in there. The numbers on this press say 3,000 tons. 3,000 tons. And you reach in there. Boom! I don't believe, do I? Do I believe it's going to fall? No, I wouldn't reach my little arm in there, would I? I don't believe. I don't believe. They've fallen before. Do we believe the gospel? Do we believe it has power? Power to see someone on the street and it can convert their soul? Do we believe it? We need to believe it. He gave them vision. Where there is no vision, finish it for me, please. The people perish. People perish. I perish. You perish. They perish. Where there is no vision. He gave them vision. When the first century church was filled with the Holy Spirit, they realized they were to go into all the world and preach Christ. When we truly know something of the power of the first century church, our vision will be so enlarged that we will see that all people need the gospel. We'll see people for what they need. They need a Savior. By our yielding to God, we receive His vision of a lost world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, You're a gracious and loving God. We thank and praise you. Lord, we're here this morning. We've heard your word. We've been challenged. We've been encouraged. Lord, help us to believe. Lord, give us vision. Lord, help us to access the power that is accessible to us through prayer, through personal time of devotion with you. Lord, before we interact with anybody else in the face of this earth, Lord, might we interact with you. We pray for that power, Lord, that we could glorify you in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.